Well, good evening and welcome to Crossroads Baptist Church. Our first song is 544, Footsteps of Jesus. Would you all stand as we sing 544? We're going to sing the first, the third, and last. First, third, and last.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Verse 3, if they lead.
If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. Pastor Cable.
Glad you followed the footsteps of Jesus and came tonight. He wants you to be assembled together. And Psalm 34 reminds us of the blessings that we have because of our Savior and the response that we can have if we have the right attitude towards him. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And verse 4 on down is giving us the results of talking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, spending time with him and giving him your needs. And he says here in verse number 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your supply. Thank you that you are a wonderful shepherd, a wonderful Savior, that if we will accept you as our Savior, you'll provide all that we need, not only spiritually, but physically. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, we ask that you would fill our spiritual cups tonight as Josh preaches. I pray you'd fill him with your spirit and help us, Lord, as we pay attention to your word. Allow it to change us and conform us to the image of Christ. We thank you for what we have in you, Lord. We're so grateful for this time together. I pray that you'll bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to see you. If you get your prayer sheet, anybody need a prayer sheet, to raise your hand and Jeb and Bernie will be glad to give you one. Just keep your hand up for just a second. And please continue to pray for a new pastor. We are moving right along in our pastoral search. I do believe that we've sent out a couple of more questionnaires for, I think there's two men that we have been considering, and they're working on questionnaires and send it back. Won't it be an amazing time when we actually have someone stand behind this pulpit preaching to you? So please keep praying that the Lord would provide the man that he wants us to have. Continue to pray for Brother Ledbetter and his wife as they travel back and forth each week. We want to I'll change this one here on the prayer list, Brother and Mrs. Graham. We'll change it that Brittany's doing fine, and you guys are home. So it's a real blessing to see that they're back, and the reason they're back is because Brittany's doing so well. So keep praying for her continued growth, healing, and everything. So we also want to pray for Jesse. Many times he sits back there, and we kind of just take him for granted, but please pray for his physical condition, the doctors would know how to heal or take care of his foot and ankle. Continue to pray for him. Laith Coop also, as he's healing from his fall. Anybody heard any more about Laith recently? Anything that you can update us on? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so please pray for Laith as he's got a MRSA infection. So please pray for that, can be very serious. So please continue to pray for Laith. Continue to pray for the expectant moms. Please pray for Sydney Downs' grandfather, Clarence Helms. He has some cancer treatments. Please continue to pray for her and pray for the ambassador kids as they're contemplating coming back very soon. Ambassador is going to start up again real soon, so continue to pray for them as they make the trip back. Continue to pray for Caitlin. She's doing really well. I think she might be here tonight. She is. Okay, good. So, but Keys, please keep praying for her as well. Mike Daniels with his back problems, please pray for him. He's been trying to get a doctor's appointment for the specific thing that he believes is wrong with him. So please pray that he'll be able to get the appointments that he needs to get taken care of. And then Dr. Lucan from Ambassador had his surgery on his elbow. Everything went well, and he's recovering right now. So please continue to, as you think of him, to pray for his continued healing and the startup of the school. And pray for salvation of George Landreth, Pastor Ledbetter's friend. Remember, he sent him a letter about a week ago. So please pray that he responds towards the Lord from that letter, that he'd get saved. And one new one, Jeremy Parker's dad, had a stress test. He's been having some health issues, took a stress test, and they don't have the results yet, but please pray that they'll be able, through this stress test, to figure out what's wrong with him. So please pray for Jeremy Parker's dad. Anybody have a request you can think of you want us to mention tonight? Yes, Pat? Please pray for Mary Ann Bloom. Her kidneys are not doing well. She's had this congenital problem, and she's probably going to have to go on dialysis pretty soon. So please pray for Mary Ann Bloom and her health. Anybody else? Yes, Joyce? So the Gurney family going to Indiana, and he's going to be preaching to Muslims. So please pray that the Lord would give him just the right message. So, yes, Fred?
Pray that God will give Israel a great victory, or such a great victory that the whole world would know that it's going to be God and nobody else.
Okay. Please pray for Israel and the battles that they're fighting, that the Lord would give them such a great victory, it'll be evident that it's the Lord doing it and not just man. So please pray for Israel. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Just a few minutes ago, I got a text from our granddaughter about the premature baby, Lanelma, that graduated from Ambassador. I think I mentioned her baby was only born at 24 weeks.
Yes. So please pray for this family. Please pray for Dimitri, as the little baby is, the doctors don't think is going to survive. So please pray for Dimitri. Anything else?
195. We're going to sing all the verses. You may remain seated, but I will ask you to stand on the last verse.
There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Would you all stand as we sing this last verse? There's the wonder of God's revelation, the Word who dwelt among men. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is that Jesus is coming again. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Amen. Let's get around and greet our church family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this hard. For I'm part of the family of God. Let's do that one more time. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this odd. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I saw Drew making hand motion back there. I was about to start waving there. All right, shouldn't rat you out there.
Just a few reminders. So the print shop did their thing on Tuesday. I believe they're still going to do it on Thursday. I don't see Gary or anybody, but Thursday is supposed to be 9 o'clock till noon. So if you're interested in that, you can help in the print shop. Please show up 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I'm sure they've got plenty for you to do. Then we want to remind you that every Sunday afternoon at 5, we'll be meeting. There will be a prayer meeting for our new pastor. So please, if you can get here at that time, spend some time praying for the Lord's provision of a new pastor. And then Master Club is going to start next Wednesday. I almost gave you a shock, didn't I? Wednesday on the 14th. They're going to have registration. They're going to have some games. They're going to have a devotion. They're going to have some fun. So please bring your kids and invite neighbors and bring folks 3 years old to sixth grade next Wednesday at 6:30 is when it will start. And also a baby dedication will be taking place August the 18th. If you're interested in that, please see Brother Ledbetter by this Sunday. Also, I want to remind you of the VBS survey sheet is right here. If you're a VBS worker, please grab one of these sheets and fill it out and give it to Luke on Sunday if you haven't already done that. And I believe that's all I have. I think that Josh is going to sing another song, aren't you?
541, Set My Soul Afire. Lord, after this song, Josh Pate's going to come, and I just want to say it's a blessing that they're here. So,
set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day. Spirit. set my soul afar, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for Thee. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of Thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for Thy word. Set my soul.
All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 4. We'll be in Acts chapter 4. I need to close this window for my sake, but also for your sake. Since I don't have very much hair, it might glare off the top of my head there. So we'll be in Acts chapter 4 tonight. Acts chapter 4 on the subject of the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. I want to thank you, church, for your prayer for us, for your kindness to us. We've been part of this church now since I came to Ambassador 9 years ago when we were in the rented facility there in Columbus. That was a long time ago. And you've been so faithful and so kind to me and to my family. Now, of course, Katie and I were married here and then now sent out of Crossroads as missionaries to the Ivory Coast in West Africa. And so I just want to thank you for your partnership with us and your kindness to us. Just a blessing to partner together for the cause of Christ. We're praying for you as you reach this community, as you stay faithful here, and I know that you're faithfully praying for us, and I want to thank you for that. Sometimes you might not know what to pray. You might see some generic prayer requests on a list, and you just kind of pray through that list, but the Spirit is still hearing your prayer, and the Spirit is still working, and it might not be evident to you at the moment when that is or what that is, but I can guarantee, I can assure you that the Lord is working, and He is hearing your prayers, and He's working through your prayers there in the Ivory Coast. And so we're just so grateful to see what the Lord has already been doing there. Since our arrival, you might remember that we spent 1 year, about 10 months in Quebec to learn the French language, and then went to the Ivory Coast last August, on August 2nd. So we just passed the 1 year mark of our time there in the Ivory Coast, and already we're just so grateful to see what the Lord's been doing. And I want to thank you for your part in that. If you've been following with our prayer letters, you'll see that just recently we were able to launch Wednesday services for a church plant in the village of Anna. And I'm just so grateful to see how the Lord's working there. So they've already had their Wednesday evening service tonight there in that village. And I received word that things went well there even this evening. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing there and praying for that ministry. We're really working on the foundation of other missionaries. They've been working faithfully for many years, evangelizing in that village. But then now we're able to work upon that and see souls saved in our own ministry, and then now see this little church come to fruition. So there's much work ahead of us in this church plant, and we look forward to getting back to the Ivory Coast and continuing that. But just want to thank you for praying for us and for our ministry. You know, right before we launched those services there in that village, I recognized, okay, if it's going to be a Wednesday night service that we're starting, so the villagers are taking public transportation to another missionary's church on Sunday mornings. They've been doing that for many years. And so we're really kind of just starting slowly with services out here in this village. And so since we're starting with Wednesday services, I realized the priority of a Wednesday service typically is prayer. We have preaching, we have music, of course, but we also have prayer. And so I began to study through the book of Acts on prayer. And to think to myself, if we're going to start this church and we're going to start with Wednesday services, then we need to create an emphasis on prayer right from the beginning. And so I began to read through the book of Acts and to think through, why do we do what we do as a church? We see different examples throughout the book of Acts of the early church and why they did and how they did what they did as the church began. But I was thinking, we really have the privilege in this village to start from scratch. We have no extracurricular activities. It's just a simple flock, a small group of people who are gathering together for worship, to hear preaching, to fellowship, and to pray together. That's all. So we get to start from scratch. What does the Bible say? What are the essential elements of a local church? Why do we do what we do? So we come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and we see a verse that begins to give us a simple list here. Speaking of the early church, Acts chapter 2, we'll come to Acts 4 in a moment, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, speaking of the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, so that would be preaching and teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, or the Lord's table, and in prayers. Just a short list there of some of the essential elements of a local church. In fact, when we arrive back in the Ivory Coast, I'm going to be working through a series preaching on the essential elements of a local church. What are they, and how do we implement them in our local church? Like I said, we get to start from scratch. What does the Bible say? What does the book of Acts say? As a local church, we're following the New Testament model. We're following specifically the book of Acts and watching how the local church was started, why it was started, and watching these essential elements and then putting them into practice in our little church plant. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42 gives us a small list there, and one of those, of course, is prayer. Prayer. That is an essential element of a local church. If we go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, we see through comparison of different passages that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. Luke, the doctor, but he's also the author of the Gospel of Luke. And so he wrote two books, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so he says in verse 1, chapter 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And so he's referring to the Gospel of Luke, to his first book, to the book that he wrote to Theophilus originally with the record of Jesus' life and ministry, of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he's saying, the former treaties, the book of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, what's the next word? Began, both to do and to teach. But then now he comes to the second book, Luke, the author, and he starts walking through and chronicling for us the story of what Jesus continues to do through the apostles. Really, this is the acts of the Holy Spirit in proclaiming the name of Christ through the apostles. And so we see this throughout the book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, the continuing work of Jesus Christ. So he began to do and to teach. We see these two words. Well, my mind goes to all of the things that Jesus did in the Gospels, right? And one of those things that he did was he prayed. He set an excellent, the ultimate example of prayer in the Gospels. In fact, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, and in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, we see those examples in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus would perhaps come to the end of a busy day of ministry, and he would go apart, go aside, go into a mountain alone to pray to his heavenly Father. And so Jesus set this ultimate example of prayer, and the disciples are there. They're watching his example. But then we see Acts chapter 1, verse 1, all that Jesus began both to do, so he prayed, and to teach. We also know that he taught on prayer, right? We have the Lord's Prayer. So the disciples are observing Jesus' life and ministry. They're observing his personal pattern of prayer. And so they ask him in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because the disciples watched Jesus' example and they said, "We want to pray too. We want to be like that. We want that example, that pattern of prayer in our own lives." And so we see that really these two books are connected, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Yes, he prayed, but he also taught the disciples to pray. We recognize that the disciples became the apostles, right? And then they were the initiators of the start of the local church here in Acts chapter 2. We see that the church is empowered here, and it's coming to fruition here in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. So as the apostles are a part of this, they have this background of prayer, right? Watching the example of Jesus, hearing the teaching of Jesus on prayer. And so now the apostles naturally begin to implement prayer into the life of the early church, recognizing their dependence upon their Lord and Savior and wanting to implement that essential element into the local church. But then again, like I said, we come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and we see this small list of essential elements, including prayer. And then we come to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, and we see this interesting story. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer," right? Being the ninth hour. As good Jews, Peter and John prayed in the temple, likely at the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, just like they normally would 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3 p.m. This was the Jewish tradition as well. So not only did the apostles have the background of Jesus' pattern of prayer and Jesus' teaching of prayer, but they had the background of the Jewish tradition of prayer. They were very much a praying people. So then they start the church under the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, and we come to Acts chapter 4, and we finally see this group of people beginning to pray and putting this into practice. In Acts chapter 4, we finally see the first persecution of the local church. The first persecution is in Acts chapter 4, where the apostles were preaching, and then all of a sudden, they faced their first persecution. What do you think is the natural response to that persecution? Well, of course, it's prayer, right? The apostles responded. Praying people. And then we come to Acts chapter 4, and when the church is in action, so to speak, it is their natural action to pray in response to this persecution. So we come to our text in Acts chapter 4. It says, "And being let go," this is right after the persecution, so being released, "they being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord," so we're still in the middle of this prayer, "and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Already in direct response to their prayer, the Lord heard their prayer and responded, and they were able to speak the word of God with boldness. But as we look at this text here, we first see the pattern of their prayer, the pattern of their prayer. We're seeing tonight a priority of prayer in the early church. But at first, I see in the early church a pattern of prayer. In this pattern of prayer, I see their consistency. They were a very consistent people in praying. Yes, they prayed during the easy times, so let's say at Pentecost, when the church is empowered and launched there at Pentecost. They were praying, right? With one accord, they came together and they prayed. Well, that was a happy, joyous occasion for the local church, and of course, they prayed. But then here in Acts chapter 4, at the first persecution, it's a difficult moment. And they prayed again. And so the local church here in the first century had a pattern of prayer. And they prayed with a certain consistency, with consistency during the easy and the difficult moments. Prayer, you know, just to really sum it up, is just a simple communication between us and God. It's a conversation, the way that we speak to God. And so just imagine, as a married couple, if you only spoke to your spouse at a certain point, maybe during the difficult moments, and you just really ignored her or him during the easy moments, or vice versa. That's not a good communication, right? You must speak consistently. You must have communication all the time, during the easy moments, during the difficult moments. That is how we have communication. That's how we have speaking and a conversation, a relationship. As believers, we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we must speak to Him. We must converse with Him all the time during the easy moments and, of course, during the difficult moments. But also in this pattern of prayer, I see there was boldness. Boldness. We see, of course, they prayed for boldness, and then the Lord responded to that in verse 31. They spake the word of God with boldness. Now, recognize they're in the middle of a very difficult persecution. Being persecuted for preaching the name of Christ. My natural prayer request would have been this: Lord, would you deliver me from this persecution? I want to get out of here. I am done. This is too hard. Let me go preach somewhere else where people are a little bit kind, you know, a little bit nicer, right? But that's not what their prayer request was. They just said, Lord, would you help us stay in this trial and preach with boldness? And that is not an easy prayer request. But in this pattern of prayer, the local church demonstrated a certain consistency and a certain boldness. And of course, they prayed with boldness as well. They prayed for boldness and they prayed with boldness because as believers, we are believer priests. We can approach the throne of grace with boldness, as Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us. We can go to His throne all the time and expecting to receive grace to help us in the time of need. Because we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our mediator. Now, as Romans 5 tells us, we have access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can pray with boldness, and then we see here that we can pray for boldness. There was a certain consistency, a pattern of prayer for the early church. I was reading a book recently on prayer, and they likened prayer to breathing. As breathing is to our spiritual body, so is prayer to our soul. If we don't breathe, we suffocate, right? And if we don't pray, we would suffocate spiritually. We must pray. We must pray personally, yes. We must pray corporately as a church. We must have a priority of prayer, individually and corporately. And we see this example in the local church here in Acts chapter 4. But secondly, not only do we see a pattern of prayer, but we see a posture of prayer. A posture of prayer. We see four different attitudes, so to speak, with their prayer. First of all, in verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So they lifted up their voice to God. This is the first attitude in their posture of prayer. It is a spirit or an attitude of dependence. An attitude of dependence. They lifted up their voice to God. Really, we see the first mention of prayer in Genesis chapter 4 in verse 26. And in that passage, at the time of the birth of Seth, people begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's really what prayer is. It's simply a call, calling out upon God, lifting up our voice to God in an attitude of dependence upon God. In the Ivory Coast, the cell service is nowhere near as consistent as it is here in the States. In fact, I'm not surprised when we have disconnections here because we're used to it from the Ivory Coast. But what's really interesting is we could contact somebody and there's just no connection. A lot of times people have to charge their phones in order for them to be able to call, of course. And if they don't have electricity, they can't charge their phone. They also have to put money on their data plan. I guess that's what it would be. That has to happen regularly, charging it with the data plan. And all the time, I call people and there's no connection. All the time. And so then I'll send them a message and I see that it's not going through. And that's really annoying. But you know what? At the same time, we just have to roll with it, call them back later, and then it goes on. But I realize in our prayer life, it's really the same thing. We're calling upon God, right? And he's always there.
Amen.
And he's always listening, and he's always ready to respond. So I don't have to go charge my phone. I don't have to go put money on my data plan. No, that's ridiculous, right? We can call upon God at any moment, and he will always be there. He's always watching. He always cares. He's always listening. He always sees us because he loves us. And in the moment of our difficulty or in the easy moments, no matter when, we can have a consistent prayer life, and God is there, and he listens, and he will respond because he loves us. He is our heavenly Father. And so we see here this posture of prayer. First of all, they had an attitude of dependence. They lifted up their voice to God, calling upon him, recognizing we cannot solve this problem ourselves. We need God. And secondly, in the same verse, verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. With one accord, we see an attitude or spirit of unity in their posture of prayer. Not only of dependence, but of unity with one accord. In fact, this expression is seen numerous times throughout the book of Acts, where the local church came together with one accord, with a togetherness, if that's a word. Coming together with unity for the cause of Christ, whether it's for evangelizing or the preaching, the fellowship, or prayer, they were coming together with one accord in unity for one purpose together. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. This is the example of efficient, powerful praying for a local church, coming together in unity to be able to pray for a certain subject. Here they were praying for the apostles, who were just persecuted for preaching the gospel. And they all came together and they lifted up their voice with one accord, praying for the apostles and for this particular situation. In Romans 15 and verse 30, we see a similar concept where Paul is asking the church of Rome to strive together in their prayers to God for him. Striving together, it's really a very, almost wrestling together in their prayers to God. It's very serious, engaging together in prayer. They're not just praying haphazardly, but they're taking this seriously, coming to God in prayer for one another in the spirit of unity with one accord. You know, this unity is possible because we're believers in Christ. We are in Christ believers, positionally, as Ephesians chapter 1 says. And at the moment of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. He's now indwelling us for all of eternity. We're sealed until the day of redemption. So each one of us has the Holy Spirit. He is unifying us together as a body of believers. In the Ivory Coast, in our new little church plant in the village, we have multiple ethnic groups. There's at least maybe 70 ethnic groups in the Ivory Coast. And so in this village, there's multiple ethnic groups represented. But there's also at least four nationalities represented. Of course, there's Americans. So we wave our American flag. No, I'm just kidding. We don't wave our flag. No, we have Americans there. We have Ivorians there because it's Ivory Coast, right? And then we have two other nationalities. There's some people from Togo and some people from Ghana also in that little church plant. And so four nationalities and then multiple ethnic groups are represented. But when we come together, we're all worshiping the same God together. We're all singing about our great God and the salvation that we have in Christ. We're hearing preaching from the same Bible concerning the same truth. We're all praying together to the same God by way of the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. We come from multiple backgrounds, I assure you that. I have recognized that more and more as I talk to people, just how different our backgrounds can be, but just how common and unified we can be in Christ. That's remarkable, right? It's actually happening here tonight, too. We're coming from multiple backgrounds, whether it's geographically or culturally, socially, whatever. But in Christ, we have unity. We are all coming together tonight to worship the same God in a spirit of unity. And we can do this because the Holy Spirit is indwelling each one of us as believers. In this posture of prayer, they had a spirit of dependence. They lifted up their voice to God. They had a spirit of unity with one accord. And then they had a spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. And this is the expression, Lord, thou art God. Verse 24, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And then they begin to quote this passage from Psalm 2 here in verse 25. But in verse 24, they said, Lord, thou art God. You are the God who made heaven. You're the God who made earth and the sea and all that in them is. What are they doing? They're recognizing the power of God. They're having an attitude of faith here and recognizing that he is the absolute sovereign of the universe. They're recognizing the greatness of God and his creation, his power, and his authority. It's so important for us to recognize this truth that God is the king of the universe. Here at the beginning of their problem, they approach God in prayer and they say, God, you are big. You are the God of the universe, the one who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And so because of this attitude of faith, they have now approached prayer knowing God is capable of responding to our need. No matter the situation, no matter how difficult it may seem, God is big. He is the king of the universe, the creator of the world, the one who made everything, and the one who loves us. And he is capable of responding to our prayer. And then finally in verse 29, we see this final attitude in their posture of prayer, a posture of rest, an attitude of rest in their God, knowing that he cares and that he is their heavenly Father. Verse 29, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I already mentioned I would naturally pray, Lord, would you deliver us from this situation? But the church here said, no, would you give us boldness to continue and to speak your word despite the difficulty? But notice that first expression, verse 29. Lord, behold their threatenings. That just simply means to look upon it. Would you see it? Would you behold the situation that we're in? So we already started in verse 24 recognizing that God is the king of the universe, the creator of the world, that he's capable of responding to our prayer, to our situation, regardless of the difficulty. And then we come to verse 29 and we see that God cares. Lord, would you behold their threatenings? Would you just look at it? It's really a hard situation that we find ourselves in. Would you look? Would you see? Even though you're the king of the universe, would you recognize that we're in a very difficult moment right now? Behold their threatenings, Father. And so we see almost two contrasts of the same person. Our God is both the king of the universe and he's our heavenly Father at the same time. He is powerful. He is capable of responding to our prayer, no matter the difficulty. But yet he's also our heavenly Father and he cares. And he sees. He sees their threatenings. He sees the difficulty in which we find ourselves, the trials in which we find ourselves, because he's our heavenly Father and he cares and he loves us. We really see this same truth in the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, in fact, in the little church plant in the village, I've been preaching through the Lord's Prayer, trying to develop a foundation of prayer for the church. We've just been working through the Lord's Prayer, almost word by word, but just kind of expression by expression there, to try to build a foundation of prayer for the church. Well, the Lord's Prayer begins in Matthew 6 with our Father. So I preached a message on that, our Father. Because as believers, we have a heavenly Father who cares for us, who loves us, who sees us, regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves. Our Father, where is he? He's in heaven, right? So he is in control of everything. And so often we face our life with our little perspective and our tunnel vision, seeing our situation and how difficult it is. But God is big. He's in heaven, and he is capable of responding to our prayer no matter the problem, no matter the difficulty. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the prayer goes on. But I've been preaching through this prayer in the church and just trying to encourage the little church there that we have this privilege of prayer, that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, expecting to receive help in time of need, because the one to whom we're praying is both our Father and the King of the universe at the same time. And that is an incredible combination. So in the village there, we have multiple villages around the town where we live. And in each village, there's a chief. Now, this chief is dressed normally. He's not, you know, in a jungle wearing a loincloth or anything like that. It's not like that from the olden days. Now, this chief looks normal, right? It's almost like the mayor of the village, right? And so we go to this chief and we have to you know, ask him for different things, permission to do different things within his village. The chief and his group, his nobility around him, are in charge of that village. And so they can say what we can do, what we can't do within the village. Thankfully, our church plant is just outside of the village limits, and so we have a little bit more liberty. But what I mean by that is that the chief is the authority, the supreme authority in that village. Everybody looks to the chief as the leadership, the head of that village. Imagine with me if I was the son of that chief. His name is Yaba Jean. Imagine if I was his son. Now I'm white, so that would not work, right? But imagine if I was his son. Not only would he be my chief, but he would also be my daddy. And he would care about me, and he would want to help me in different areas of my life. And he would have the capability of helping me because he's the supreme authority in the village. Okay, so that's a village chief, but just imagine maybe a mayor of a town or a president of a country. Well, that's great. Now imagine if we were the president's son, we would have this privilege, right? But as believers, we have an incredible privilege because our Heavenly Father is also the King of the universe, the creator of the world. But in the moments of difficulty, we forget that we have this privilege. And we think, God's not capable of responding. He's not capable of helping. And he truly doesn't care about me. Otherwise, why would I be in this problem? But that's not how God works, is it? God is our Heavenly Father. He cares. He loves. He sees us. And he will respond to our prayer. He will hear us. It's not always yes, is it? Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. But I assure you that he does care. And he is listening. And he will respond. We see, just really briefly, we won't go to these passages, but in Genesis chapter 16 and in chapter 21, we see the example of Hagar. When Hagar was in a very difficult moment, she had been cast away from Abraham and Sarah. She cried out, and God heard her prayer. And she said, God sees me in the middle of this difficulty. God hears me in the middle of this. And then a few chapters later, in Genesis chapter 9, we see the example of Leah. Leah was in a particularly awkward family situation where she and Rachel were sharing Jacob. And because of that, she really needed God's help. She was lonely. And she cried out to God, and God heard her. And she said, God sees me, God hears me, and I will now praise the name of God because of those truths. Whether it's Hagar, whether it's Leah thousands of years ago, or whether it's us today, these truths remain the same. God hears us. God sees us. He will respond to our prayer. He loves us. He cares for us. That's the reason why we have the promise in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us, no matter the difficulty in which we find ourselves. In conclusion, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I considered preaching this text tonight, but I think we'll just read it briefly here in conclusion. A powerful passage here on prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. So how many things? Everything, right? So the good things or the bad things, the easy moments, the difficult moments, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's the result? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We went through a difficult trial recently, and I was looking at this passage of scripture in the middle of that. And this passage brought comfort to my heart, where I realized prayer is the solution to my worry. No matter how difficult life may be at the moment, no matter how worried or terrified or fearful I may be, prayer is the solution. And then we come to verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This particular trial was so intense that I felt like I needed God to actually keep my heart and to keep my mind from going crazy. I needed God to keep me, to guard me. Prayer is the solution, right? Even though we might not always know what to pray, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We have the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. We have Christ himself making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we have this privilege to access the throne of grace at any time with boldness, to pray for boldness, to pray with consistency, no matter the difficulty. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So church, I assure you tonight, no matter our difficulty, prayer is the solution. And if we don't know what to pray, then just go to the Word. In fact, for example, go to the Psalms. A few weeks ago, I was not really knowing what to pray. And so I just went psalm by psalm by psalm, and I let the Word pray for me, letting David's prayers pray for me. And I was surprised to see how David was thinking what I was thinking. And I was thinking, how did he know what I was thinking? That's what I was thinking. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it. And the psalm said it for me, and I just went psalm after psalm after psalm, and I recognized the Word is powerful. Prayer is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and He dwells within us, and we have these resources, these tools, no matter the difficulty, no matter the trial, He's always with us. And so, as we've been starting this new church, we've been trying to focus, what are the essential elements of a local church? And one of those, for sure, is prayer. So we've been creating an emphasis on prayer in the little local church there, in the little church plant. But we are following the example of the book of Acts, the early church. They set an example for us in many areas, one of which was prayer. And so as a church, we should follow their example. We should look at the example in Acts chapter 4 and say, we should make prayer also our priority. If it was their priority, it should be ours as well. And we should implement it into our local church corporately, collectively. But we should also implement it into our lives individually. What that might mean is that tonight, if there's a burden on your heart, or even if there isn't, maybe tomorrow morning, let's go to the throne of grace with boldness, expecting to help to find help in time of need. Let's prioritize prayer individually and corporately. And when we do so, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds. He will answer because He loves us, He cares for us, He sees us, He will respond to our prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this privilege to preach tonight on this text. Thank you for your love for us and for the privilege that we have to pray. I pray that you give us boldness in our prayer, consistency in our prayer. Lord, it's not easy to have a habit of prayer. And I just pray that you would help us as individuals implement this habit of prayer into our daily life, and then as a church that we would pray corporately together in unity by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and that we would see your power as a result on this church and on other ministries of this church, and ultimately that we would experience your peace in our hearts because we have prioritized prayer. So Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for their prayer for my family, and I pray that you would help us as we continue to serve you faithfully until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.